Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
We have been talking about cooperating with the phases in life's adventures. We have divided it into five for ease of teaching. The first stage is the stage of sitting down and counting, in which you learn the wisdom for your salvation. We said number two is the stage of the trial of your faith. That is, that which you came out of in stage one will be tested in stage two. Then after that, by reason of learning that comes straight from instruction and also via experiences, you will come to a third stage, which is called the stage of rest, the rest of God. The Bible said on the seventh day, God rested from his works. We established that God did not rest because he was tired, but God rested because he had done all that was necessary. We saw, you taking examples from 2 Samuel chapter 10, that Joab said to Abishai, his brother, he said, "Be strong and be courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what is good in his sight." That is, he was saying that all that rests upon you to do is that of being strong and being courageous. As for the results of the battle, that is left in the hands of God. The same principle you use today that got results, the same effort you put in today and yielded you abundant prosperity, you might put that same thing in tomorrow and it does not bring forth anything. It is just because for certain reasons, at this particular point in time, God has refused to pour his blessing upon that thing. I'm explaining, therefore, that as a child of God, you must learn that rest, to trust absolutely in God. That like Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Sometimes when we are trying to teach faith, we have misunderstood what faith meant. That faith meant that if I get anything, I must never lose it. Listen, there are times you lose certain things so that you can get bigger things. And there are times you lose certain things because God doesn't want you to have it anymore. Do you get what I'm going to say? And you have to learn to just trust in God. That's what real faith is. It is not Satan that is controlling your life. If Satan was the one controlling your life, you could be fighting him. But as a child of God, if you are really walking in righteousness, Satan is not your problem. Your problem should be your relationship with your God, to be sure that you are always walking in a manner that is pleasing to God. And Paul always emphasized that. So we send the position of rest. You have come to understand that your life is totally in God's hands and you have done all that you know to do. You have done all that God has taught you in the period of sitting down and counting. Our best example in these teachings has been marriage. So you step into marriage, maybe as a young woman, God said that a wife should honor her husband and respect her husband. And like Sarah respected her husband so much that she called him Lord. And you have practiced that, you have believed it. As to whether your husband will love you according to the commandment of God, it is God that can ensure that. Do you get my point? You don't have to become a nagging wife because you say, "I've paid my dues. Let me now earn my love." No, you have done it as unto God. God said that if a servant is serving his master, he should serve his master as if he's serving God. He should not serve his master because of the reward that a master is giving. That's the position of rest. That in life, my whole conscience is commended towards God. I do what is right. If it produces results, fine. If it doesn't, too bad. But I will not change the right thing that I have learned to do. I sat in the presence of God to hear instruction. I will not change those things because I am not getting results. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? If you don't get to this point in life, you are not ready for fruitfulness with God. That is, you must get to a point in which your primary goal is not result. Your primary goal is to do what is pleasing in the sight of God. Let me explain that. When I'm talking about pleasing in the sight of God, there are times that there is a general principle that is being applied. One of my friends pointed out something to me the other time about the GSM networks in Nigeria when they were bidding for their licenses. And they were to pay $285 million for a 15-year license that was only exclusive for the first 4 years. And the 4 licenses were issued. Because you know many companies bidded for the license. One of the companies that dropped out earlier before the final 4, one of the heads of that company said that no company doing business in Nigeria would pay $285 million and make profit quickly. And another man in another of the companies that bidded and got the license said, "This is not just about making money. It is about advancement in the society called Nigeria. That Nigerians also should advance like the rest of the world and have a GSM network." Do you get my point? Listen, that is talking about walking in a manner pleasing to God. Because sometimes we claim to love God, James said, yet we don't love the people that we can see. What am I trying to say here? Sometimes you have a dream, you have a goal, you have a vision. as long as that thing is blessing the lives of other people. It might turn out that I did not make money, but you will rest in one particular issue. That is, my life has counted. People will say that I bless them. That before God, I can stand boldly and say, me too, I impacted the life of a few people. So the business did not do well in that interval. Well, sorry. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? So it's our goal in life, really, that makes us able to enter into the rest of God. If you get to this particular point, the Bible said that is the faith that overcomes Satan. He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And number three, he said they did not love their lives unto death. Now, that one is very important. That is, people are willing to do things for the sake of doing them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That if you understand that particular point, you will be able to rest totally in the hand of God. And listen to me, that is when God begins to work. That was why we stopped where we stopped our discussion last time. The other two stages are the stage of fruitfulness and the stage of multiplication. Now, before I begin to talk about those stages, let me just make this point again. You will see that one effortlessly flows into the other, and that your job in life really is not to intellectually define each stage when you are in there. It's just to cooperate using the word of God with the circumstance of your life at that particular point in time. If God closes a door, you cannot force it open. The only thing you can do is to start breaking walls and jumping through windows, which is what Jesus Christ said is characteristic of thieves. Do you understand my point? When you try to go ahead of God is when you pierce yourself through with many sorrows. Are you getting my point? Listen, if you're a politician, if you contest an election and they don't vote for you, too bad. It is not compulsory that people must vote for you. You see, the reason why you have four or five who are campaigning for a particular post and all of them are spending money on campaign, yet we know that only one person will win is because we can't vote for everybody. Are you getting my point? You don't have to shoot and kill. You don't have to lie and cheat to get the position. Listen, if you are a child of God, they tell you that politics is dirty. Politics is not dirty. Go in and play your own politics properly, knowing that if I don't win, I don't win. It is because God did not ordain for me to win. I have campaigned. I have taken my form. I have done all I know to do. I have done my posters. I have gone everywhere doing what I'm supposed to do. I have let people have my manifesto. If they don't vote for me at the end of the day, too bad. If I am rigged out, too bad. God is judge. Do you understand my point? That is a position of rest you must get to as a child of God before God can use you in life. Listen, if you are listening to me, if you want to be a politician, be a politician. Just don't be a crook. Don't surround yourself with thugs. That's all we are talking about. Are you getting my point? God knows how to bring you to the position he wants to bring you to at the appropriate time. You are following what I'm saying? It's called the position of rest. Once you know this thing in your heart, you can do virtually anything for God. Because you see, you say, what if you lose money? Too bad. It's not my money. It's God's money. God has ensured something that my waters will never fail. My bread will be sure. I will have no problem. Look, listen, if God gave me 1 million naira today and somebody sees it tomorrow, I'm not going to commit suicide. You are getting the principle there. In the same manner, if I use that 1 million naira to print posters for an election, I lose it. I will just assume that somebody stole it also. I still will not die. I will continue trucking. Are you following the point I'm trying to make? That is the principle of rest. Those are the kinds of people that God can use in life. If I don't get it, let the thing be destroyed is a principle of Satan, and God will eventually judge all those who practice it. Are you following my point? Listen, the judgment of God will come in this land while you and I are watching. The things that I'm saying is just to help people to deliver themselves on time from the judgment of God. Now, listen, when you have gone through all these phases, I said one flows effortlessly into the next. Then when you have entered into this position of rest, then God can begin to work on your behalf. If angels have to become men to guard you, they will. Do you get what I'm going to say? If God has to connect people who live on the other side of the globe to bring you to a particular position, he will. I was reading a book the other day. And, you know, Billy Graham, we all know him now as about the best known preacher in the world. You know that. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying this. How did he become that famous? We all know and we have come to accept that it's because that was what God called him to do. But there was a method that God used. Without giving you all the details, a man one day looked and said, my God, this man is doing a great work. And he placed a call to the head of the biggest newspaper network in America and said, sir, you need to listen to this man. And the man listened to him preach and phoned his editors and sent Pump Billy Graham. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? That is, everywhere he went, they wrote articles on him. They followed him everywhere and made sure he was well known. Do you know why? Because God had ordained that to bring him to limelight. But what we don't understand, we start using our money to bribe journalists. look, they will write something about you for 1 week. After that, they will get tired. Another person will pay bigger money and they will go away. Billy Graham never paid anybody a dime. Do you understand my point? He did not fight for his publicity. When the crop permits, he puts in the sickle, the Bible says, because the harvest has come. It's not a matter of fight. He was not even there when they were making calls on his behalf. And for him, all it begat him is probably embarrassment at the beginning. He probably didn't enjoy it. You are getting what I'm trying to say here? But a man did not love his life even unto death. Therefore, when God thrust a bigger responsibility on him, he just stepped in and began to fulfill it. But some of us have now thought that being an evangelist is a glamorous thing. Now, I'm an evangelist, it's my time to buy my own private jet and drive in my own big cars. Listen to me, if God gives you a private jet, fine, but it's not the goal in life. Are you getting my point? There are evangelists that nobody knows about, but they will get as great a reward as Billy Graham. The most important thing is that the word of God is preached. Are you getting the point I'm making? So this is a position where a man must get to, the position of rest. And God cannot do anything on his behalf, including making him the most famous evangelist in the world, if necessary. Do you understand my principle here? Listen, it is called fruitfulness. Now, to develop this further, I just want to read two scriptures because we are now on the last two stages of this, our five-point seasons in the affairs of life. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God is the one that gave the increase. Are you getting my point? It is not your effort. It is God that will give the increase. Your assignment is to do what is right, and God will choose to give it its increase as he sees fit. That's what I've been trying to explain. You know, sometimes I see, because Yonggi Cho built the church that has 1 million members thereabout in South Korea, other pastors all over the world want to build churches that have 1 million members. I am not saying that it is not good to aspire to have great churches, but it's not a goal in life. Are you getting my point? Paul did not build a church that had 1 million members. Are you following my point? Yet, even till now, we are not even considering that we might begin to imagine about comparing Yonggi Cho and Paul. It is true. Do you follow my point? The reason is that what matters is that Paul planted. Paul said that it was God that gave the increase in what he was doing. It is not your assignment to start using schemings to get a particular kind of increase. Because this is the interesting part. There are increases that God wants to bring into your life that nobody had done before you. So you cannot even use them as a goal. There was a man I was reading about the papers the other day. He started a very big company in this country. And how did the company start? He was interviewed. He said he contested to be governor of his state. And when he was contesting for the governorship position, he had a plan on how to make his state develop. And he had proposed in his heart that if he becomes governor, they will invest money like this, and bring to be this kind of company in the state, and therefore they will be able to create jobs in every local government. Then the result of elections came out, and he lost. He said he just took off, he traveled abroad to go and rest and recover from all the hassle. Then while he was there relaxing, an idea came to his mind. That all the things you wanted to do for your state, why don't you do them for yourself? Then he said, why not? It will still work. It doesn't have to be a government project for it to work. He came back to the country, brought out the proposal, went to some banks, and they started pushing money into it. Now it's a big company. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Now this is a point here. When he was losing the election, some people will be saying, look at this. This man has lost money. He has lost this. But as a result of plans that he had for his state, when he lost the election, he used that one for himself. Now he has become wealthier, and the very thing he wanted to create in his state, he's now creating all over the federation. Let me just let those of us who might be interested know that it is not government that will redeem this country. It is the individuals that are therein. Are you getting my point? I was reading the story the other day about John Johnson, the founder of Ebony, Ebony Publications. How did Ebony start? Ebony was an idea that he decided to print. After he had worked on it for a particular presidential candidate, he was on a presidential candidate's campaign team, and they gave him the job of studying black men who have done well so as to use to encourage black people to vote for this particular presidential candidate. When he finished the election, whether his candidate won or not, I don't know. But all I know is that after that, the man said, this thing must not end here. He started printing it. By the time he died, he was a billionaire from one particular idea. Are you getting my point? I'm trying to explain something, that certain types of increases that God wants to bring into our lives, we have not yet seen it before. And sometimes it becomes manifested in the place of failure. But because we have thought that success meant we must be like the other man, we don't quickly recognize that in our failure, God has given us a seed of success. You are following the point I'm making here? Now, it's so important we understand this. Now, the second scripture that we should read is Genesis chapter 1. After God created everything, he created the man. And in verse 28, he said, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. What I want to emphasize from here is this word, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Now notice this, God said there are steps to fulfilling a particular kind of destiny. If you are going to have dominion on this earth and subdue the earth and rule over the earth, because this is God's order. God is the creator. But the Bible says that the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. What am I trying to say? When God wants to have dominion on the earth, he empowers people to rule on his behalf. That's why the Bible will tell us that a king went out to go and take kingdoms. And when he came back, he began to share the cities to his servants as they have already done with the money he gave them to trade with when he was not around. The one that turned his one talent to 10, the master said, have lordship over 10 cities. Are you getting my point? That is the way by which the master rules is to give dominion to his servants. So God said, if they are going to have dominion, this is what they will have to do. Number one, they must be fruitful. Then number two, out of their fruitfulness, they will multiply. And as they multiply, they will fill the earth. And that will enable them to subdue it and rule over the earth. Do you get my point? That is, the man that is not fruitful cannot multiply. And the man that does not multiply will not be able to fulfill the destiny of God of having dominion. That's why the last two stages of our five-point development in this series, number four is the stage of fruitfulness, and number five is the stage of multiplication and having dominion. Now, I've been talking about the rest of God, and I've moved slowly into the issue of fruitfulness. This is God's order, that in everything that you do in life, you are successful in it. Everything that we have spoken up till now is to help us come to a point in which God can work on our behalf so that we are successful. Now, the issue is that what do you call success? What do you call fruitfulness? Unfortunately, most of us have defined success and fruitfulness in financial terms alone. Now, notice that I emphasize the word alone, because fruitfulness can be demonstrated in financial terms. But when you make financial terms the aim of fruitfulness, it becomes impossible to indeed succeed. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. Now, this is how you know where corruption abounds. When a man is known for having money, yet we don't know what he's doing to bless other people that gave him money, then you know corruption is in that environment. Even if we give him a chieftaincy title, it's a corrupt environment. Everywhere in life, I gave a few examples as I was speaking earlier on this matter. I used Henry Ford as an example. We all know him because of him, we are paying the prices we are paying for cars today. Cars would have been 10 times his cost were he not that people like him lived. Are you getting my point? Now, we say Bill Gates is the richest man in the world. The reason why he's the richest man is very simple. Virtually everything, at least I do, on a daily basis, involves Bill Gates. Are you getting my point? When I'm preaching what you are listening to right now, I record it on a computer that runs on Windows. When I'm writing my books, I'm writing my notes for my students, I'm doing everything, I use Microsoft Word. Are you getting my point? A Bill Gates product. When you go on the internet, the chances in Nigeria that you are browsing the internet with Internet Explorer is more than 99%. That is a Bill Gates that you are using. Are you following my point? This is why Bill Gates is the richest man in the world. I give another example of Michael Dell. Why is he a very wealthy man? Because of him, many, many young men can now own their own computers, and indeed these days, their own laptops. He created the low pricing system for such things. If you are in a society where people just become rich, what does he do? You don't know. But when they want to donate money in the community, he's the one they call. What does he do? They don't know. That is, they actually don't care. They know. A lot of times, we know that a man is a thief, but we don't care as long as he has money. That is the reason why we have not prospered much in Nigeria. It is not because of bad government. It is because we as individuals, we are generally very corrupt. How do you know corrupt people? It's not only that you have stolen money, but you have done babake to the rogue. Then you're also a corrupt man. You follow my point? But what does God want? God wants people to be productive. God wants them, the dreams that he has put in their lives, to bless other people to really yield results. Are you following my point? Recently, Muhammad Yunus, he won the Nobel Peace Prize for this year. And why did he win the Nobel Prize? Now, the man is a banker. He called himself the banker to the poor in the autobiography that he wrote. Why did he win the Nobel Peace Prize? Because he's a rich man? No. But actually, right now, he's a very rich man. Are you getting my point? His bank has lent out billions and billions of dollars to people, and most of the money they have lent out has been paid back. And they keep on doing that business. But why did the man get that result? It's because he came out and said, when he came to his country, Bangladesh, he saw that people were absolutely poor, and banks will not give them loans. And indeed, if a bank were to give them loans, they would be indebted to that bank for the rest of their lives. Why won't the bank give them loans? Because they will not have collateral anyway. So the man started giving out loans without collateral. Now, first, he's tried to sell ideas to banks. Nobody bought. Eventually, he managed to get a little bank started and started giving out these loans. But they had their own strategies for recovering their loans. Their own was just to ensure that the things that you are doing was really working. Now, this is how you count success in his own case. He wasn't counting money that he was getting. He was counting the ability to empower the lives of his own people. You know, one of the problems we have had, and as our next elections are coming up, I want all of us to pray, all right, in our country, that we should pray that we will have leaders that they are, when they wake up in the morning, all they are dreaming about is how to make the country develop. The nation must prosper. The definition, therefore, of fruitfulness is how much I am impacting the lives of other people. The reason why most businesses collapse, like it has been recorded statistically, is that most people who do those businesses rush out to try and get something. Listen, if you are really out to put out something, it's difficult to collapse your business. Because no matter how little you can, you will continue doing it. Let me explain something to you. As much as possible in life, don't do something purely to get money. Do you understand my point? If you are working somewhere and you have an idea, and it appears like that idea will not yield you much money, but it's a good idea that will bless your community, don't resign your job. Just be doing it small, small on the side. You understand my point? That idea can continue to flourish without you putting pressure on it for your personal needs. Now listen, God will cause those things to prosper. That's the stage I'm talking about. Now it will start prospering little. Let me emphasize that. Initially, the prosperity will be small. Now, and that's what I want you to understand. That is, after you have persevered, at a point in time, you start seeing fruitfulness in what you are doing. And it's important you notice this particular point, because the stage of fruitfulness and multiplication are tied together. That's why God said, be fruitful and multiply. I have broken it up to make it easy, all right, to define. There's something about fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is when you begin to see profit in the thing that you are doing, essentially for the first time. Now, the danger, which is what collapses most businesses, is that men think that now is my time to enjoy. They don't have a vision for multiplication and dominion. The way to survive the season of fruitfulness is to have your eyes on multiplication and dominion. There's what the Bible calls the complacency of fools being their destruction. That's in Proverbs chapter 1. Actually, the King James used the word the prosperity of fools. And literally, that word prosperity is correct. But that prosperity is implying the complacency that a man steps into because of his prosperity. I worked in a clinic once, and I noticed something that after some time, the clinic was doing very, very poorly. In fact, by the time I was working there, shortly after I was there, doing really, really poorly. And I observed the things that were going on, and I talked to some people who were there at the beginning. And then described how greatly this clinic prospered at the beginning. How people patronized. How a lot of money was flowing in. And I said, then what happened? Then they began to explain to me how the MD used to spend the money. Listen, a lot of companies in Nigeria, that's what has collapsed it. Before you begin to live large, your company must be much, much larger than you. Are you getting my point? And that's one thing people have not yet understood. Listen to me. In the season of fruitfulness, it's a dangerous season. You might get carried away thinking that now you are enjoying. The other day I heard a man talking. Actually, he was a preacher. He made a statement that really, really pained me because I was afraid for him that he wouldn't last. He said something. Now, I hardly knew him from anywhere. I just saw him for the first time. And he said that, yes, it is his time. Now he's enjoying. I said, it is your time. Your time to do what? Do you get my point? I said, I felt like, look, as a preacher, if you feel like you are getting well known, it is actually your time to spend more energy in preaching the word of God and turning more people to righteousness. It is not your time to enjoy. I don't have to tell you that the time I saw him, he was trying to collect money from people. Now, you see, it was very, very sad. Because, you see, in life, God gives everybody an opportunity. Let me explain that to you. If you open a business, you have an opportunity to succeed. If you start a ministry, you will have an opportunity to succeed. What actually kills it is what you define as success. Do you get my point? If the ability to buy a car and buy a house is what you call success in your business, you will quickly kill it. Because the resources you will have used to plow towards multiplication, you will use it to build a house in your village. And these are the things that are killing some of our hardworking people. A young man goes to Lagos, or is in Onitsha, or is in Aba, or is in Enugu, anywhere he is doing business. Then suddenly demand is made upon him that he too should have a house in the village. For what? He does not live there. He goes there twice a year and sleeps a total of 4 days maximum in a year in that house. But he starts killing a single shop in the market because every profit that comes from it is thrown into a house that he does not need. A house that a bank will not even use as collateral to give him a loan because it does not have proper deeds to the land upon which it is built. Do you understand my point? That we start making expenditure that is far beyond the level of prosperity actually that God has yet given us. Listen, a lot of people, and I can say this clearly in my country, Nigeria, they truncate their blessing at this particular point, the stage of fruitfulness. Because he thinks that once I can drive home in a big car, they will know I have succeeded. Listen, you know the problem with cars? They spoil. They catch fire. They get stolen. And even if none of these things happen to it, they age. The moment you drive a car away, if you bought it brand new, the moment you drive it away from the showroom, the price has dropped by at least 20%. Because if you were to return it immediately, it is now a second-hand car. I hope you are getting my point. So, but you now think that is success. The seed, because you have to get this point, God said concerning the trees that he made in the garden, that they had fruit, that their seed was inside. Are you getting my point? That God said, when I give you a seed, you plant it, the first thing you see is fruits. That is when it becomes fruitful. That's what we call fruitful. Inside the fruit are seeds for the next generation of trees. Are you getting my point? That is, before you start eating the fruits and feeling very large and prosperous, make sure you have a multitude of trees. And you see, it is so difficult in life to reason like this if you are not one that loves God and loves the brethren. If you are not one that loves your nation. If you are not one that loves the people around and you want to bless their lives. It's so difficult to reason like this. And I pray that people will be able to think along these lines. Because without such thoughts, nations don't recover. Do you get my point? They don't recover. They don't prosper. Those who God has put the prosperity of a nation into their hands are those who have realized that I'm not multiplying because I want to eat better. I am multiplying because without my multiplication, there are young men that won't have jobs. It is an ungodly thought, an ungodly mindset. For you to say, I don't want much in life. Once I have money to take care of my wife, my children, buy a car, build a small house, I mean, a man should be content. That way, you have only blessed yourself. You have not blessed anybody else. The men that build multinationals. I was mentioning to you a man earlier. And that man that I was talking about, he said that he thanks God that right now in Nigeria, he employs up to 10,000 people. But that when he thinks about people like Michael Dell, who are employing hundreds of thousands, he realizes he has not yet done anything. So his goal, his aim over the next few years is to multiply the number of people that he's employing to 50,000. It is not that he just go to the streets and start employing. No, he has to build up capacity. That is, for him, success is defined by the number of people that have been blessed by his works. I hope you get that point.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening. And may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.